We're going to dive a little bit deeper into this quarterback controversy, quarterback issues, and I got a special guest who knows Hugh Freeze pretty well.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Thursday. I'm pumped as all get out right now. We're about to dive in with none other than Mr. Tyler Siski. Tyler, I talked about you guys yesterday on my show, and it blew up. Everybody loved what you had to say, loved your insight, and we're going to dive into that even more. But before we get started, I got to give a quick shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Whatever you give them, they're going to double it up to play with. You can hit live lines, first half, second half, whatever you can find on college football lines, NFL, name the sport, you can find it. They might have cricket out there. I don't even know. They got a little bit of everything. Check them out, mybookie.ag. Tyler, I don't want to take – I want to get into this. I talked about you guys yesterday. I used some of the clips from your show. I thought the conversation you had around the quarterback situation and the execution of the offense was fantastic. And it kind of goes along a lot of the lines of the things that I've been talking about or I've been seeing as well. And I kind of want to just get a little bit more of your perspective here and kind of play devil's advocate a little bit and pit, maybe throw you some scenarios and see what you think overall. But first of all, thank you for showing up today. Thanks for coming on. I dig the Letterman jacket too.
You know, hey, you know, I get beat up by the Auburn fans. They don't realize, you know, that I played there. My wife was a gymnast there. We spent a lot of time in Auburn, so I get beat up. So anytime we talk special Auburn podcast, I had to go get it out of the closet. I did find it though.
I love it. Looks like it still fits. That's a plus. It still fits. I mean, if you can still wear your Letterman jacket, that's a big deal. So look. You talked about specifically how you didn't feel like this offense was very complex. Hugh's not asking a ton of the quarterbacks. It's pretty simple to get it down. My question to you, just from a devil's advocate standpoint, you know, last year, in theory, we were under a completely different offense. I talked with Peyton before this season, and he talked about how there's brand new terminology now that Hugh's running the system. Is there a chance that it could just be that it's a new system and this is the first year that they're running through it? Like, I guess, walk me through that. Is Hugh's offense hard to pick up, like, from the beginning? Does it take a little bit? Could that be some of the issues that we're seeing?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think so. Look, I mean, I said it yesterday on our show, and I think you clipped it. I saw some of the clips somebody had sent me today, but, yeah. I think this is a very quarterback-friendly offense. One, you don't have to be overly talented to run the offense. You just got to make the right decisions. And I hate saying the same word over and over again, but that's really what it comes down to. Look, I'm pulling for Auburn to win every game. I really am. I'm not emotionally tied to it like I used to be. You know, I grew up an Auburn fan. Right. I used to get pissed off when they lost every game. I don't anymore. I pull for more. Now that I've been in the coaching world for so long, I pull for friends. Hugh is a friend of mine, and I mean, he's not the only one. Derek Nix, there's a lot of the staff I've worked with before, so it's cool that they're there and they're getting to enjoy the things that have made Auburn great. And but look, I want to win just like everybody else, right? And it's frustrating. I know what Hugh wants and what's expected from the offense, and I get frustrated for him. You know, I get frustrated when it's not going as smooth. And but yeah, to say it's complicated, I mean, he would probably tell you this if he asked you. I've been with him twice at two different schools. Matter of fact, the last game that I coached with him in the bowl game against Pittsburgh, against Pitt, we ran the same exact play 27 consecutive times. We did. We ran the same play. He'll tell you we ran the same play 27 straight times.
I assume it's got different checks and like different variations, decisions that you can make off that play.
Correct. You got a run check you can make. We could have handed it, pulled it, thrown the RPO to the left or RPO to the right, and then checked it. I mean, so we literally called the exact same play all the way down the field. So with that being said, decision-making, when you run an offense like that, the offense is designed to get you in the right play to be successful. There's answers, and you have to know the answers. I think you can get in bad positions trying to press and trying to be too aggressive and not taking what they're giving you instead of trying to, like I said on our show, make the sports center play every time.
Sure.
But look, there's two, you have to stay, but number one, there's two main rules, right? It starts with, it's all about the ball. He's probably done the speech with the team. I imagine he's done it with every team I've ever coached with him with. I've been with him at two different universities, and he does this thing, a speech. It's called, it's all about the ball. There's only one of them. We got to take care of it. I mean, if you can't turn the ball over, I mean, that's common sense football, right? So that, but the other thing is staying on schedule. And that's where the decision-making comes in. And, you know, I don't know the stat. You probably know because you have an Auburn podcast, but they're one of the top teams in the country with explosive plays and yards per play.
Yeah.
If you take care of the ball, I mean, it's stupid simple, but if you take care of the ball and stay on schedule and you can call plays that you can call in second and six, you know, is awesome. Okay. There's not a lot of calls on the play sheet for old third and 10 plus.
Yeah.
You got to stay ahead of the chains and keep going. And if you don't score, you don't score, but staying ahead of the chains and you can at least flip field position and put yourself in a chance to be successful.
Absolutely. There's another thing that you talked about, and I want to dive into it just a little bit deeper as well. And it's something that I talked about that's kind of blown my mind as well. And you hit the nail on the head on your show. Typically, when you have an issue of execution or when there's talk of plays of execution issues, I always go back to look at what's the track record. Okay. And if I've got quarterbacks that are having issues and I can go back down the line and I can find more quarterbacks having the same type issues, then I'm like, okay, well, look, the execution may be there. You may be right. The play may be open, but now we have a multiple line of quarterbacks that are having the same problem. In this scenario, it's quite the opposite. It's almost every single quarterback that he's dealt with. You mentioned the Ole Miss and Arkansas State quarterbacks, but if you even look into Liberty, Malik Willis couldn't even do a read option correctly. He could not read the option at Auburn. And then he goes to Liberty and becomes a top draft pick quarterback the year before he comes to Auburn. They beat BYU and Arkansas with a third string quarterback where they had two injuries, and you go to your third string and he's able to execute the offense. So you have this long line of every quarterback that's not even like all these physically superior athletes, physically gifted guys that are running the system. What do you think the disconnect is? Like, what's happened? Like, what do you see is the biggest disconnect of what we're seeing, especially in the Cal and the Arkansas game this past Saturday, of just all of a sudden we can't make the correct decision when it gets to the game time. What do you think the disconnect is?
Well, I think one, you know, anything on Hank Brown. I mean, he played, you know, one game against New Mexico. You know, and then he played one SEC game, one big game, right? So, sure. I don't believe in throwing quarterbacks away after that. You know, I mean, like you can't. I mean, he's young. You know what I'm saying? Like he's sure. Gonna make mistakes. Young quarterbacks make mistakes. So, but with Peyton, I think Peyton presses a little bit sometimes. You know, staying on schedule and you know making the right decisions as far as like. I mean, it's not a really a complicated thing. I think that's why Freeze is frustrated a little bit. Okay. Yeah. But we've gone back. I mean, it's not a hard system to learn. Once you learn it, you learn it. It's more of you got to be a point guard. You know what I mean? You just got to facilitate the offense. If you're dynamic with your feet and you can make plays, that's like a bonus, right?
Right.
But we've won, you know, Ryan Applin, who's now the offensive coordinator at Georgia Southern. He was unbelievable in the system, was two-time player of the year in the league, and set every record in that league for a long time. And I'm sure it's been broken now, but, you know, that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago now. But, you know, Bo Wallace, we actually signed at Arkansas State.
Right. Okay?
And so he was actually with Freeze his first year, and then he left to go to Scuba, East Mississippi, and then when Freeze gets the job at Ole Miss signs him back because we needed somebody that understood the offense, right? So it's actually an important – I know, shocker, it's an important part of knowing what to do. And I think that was a big part. And Freeze has said it a ton, and that, you know, Bo is the most important quarterback – most important recruit he's ever signed. Because when we got there, we had guys – we had talented guys, but they didn't really understand the offense either, right? And so, you know, I will never forget we had Barry Brunetti – at Ole Miss, and he gets the, we put him in the game against, I think it was UTEP. Somebody's going to remind me one of these days, but I think it was UTEP. we have like third and five, and we had a cover two beater, a trips cover two beater, where you run two double outs and a mandatory clear by one. And if they're in cover two or any kind of, you know, well, I like to now refer to as Mel Kiper cover two.
Yeah.
But if they're in cover two, then it's a high low corner read, right? And then mm-hmm. and then so if the corner rides or is in phase with a guy that's running a mandatory outside release, you put it on the out route. Well, sure enough, they go phase with him and they take off. And we had two guys out there for the first down, could have fair caught it. We're like, woo, 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 woo. But what did Barry do? And I love Barry, but what did Barry do? He chunked it and see how far he could throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
And he immediately got pulled out of the game. And I mean, you can't do that. Like, but now we had to punt instead of he could have underhand tossed the first down.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm talking about, making the right decisions. Sometimes the sports center plays will get you in trouble. Just sometimes, you know, I always say, you know, one of my favorite sayings is sometimes it's okay to check the ball down. You never go broke taking a profit.
Sure, sure.
That's in the schedule.
Yeah, I totally get it, and I totally agree. I've had a lot of comments. I've had a lot of people say, you know, I've said a lot of these same things, and the answer or the retort that I get a lot is, well, why don't you just call plays that you know they can execute? Or you know, like you mentioned on your show yesterday, you were talking about a third and two, and you got an easy play for a first down, but you chunked the fade. And the retort is, well, why don't you just call a run in that play? Well, you know, you got all these RPOs. Why don't you just call a run? What do you say to that? Like, how easy is that to condense your playbook to the things that you think they can execute and still be successful? I mean, I don't even really feel like that's possible.
Well, two things. One, I think I 100%, okay, I 100% think – do you go to the press conferences?
Sometimes, yes.
I 100% think you should go to the next press conference and ask Hugh, why doesn't he just call the plays that work? I think that would be a great question. I really
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
I think that would be an awesome question. I think you should lead the press conference with that and just tell him, hey, this is from Tyler Siski. He wants to know, why don't you just run the plays that work?
Yeah, why don't you stop running the plays they can't throw? Yeah,
stop calling those plays that don't work. Call the ones that work. I think that would be a great question to ask. I really do. I think it'd be awesome. I don't even know what to say to that. Okay. Yeah. I can't.
You joke, but that's serious questions.
Yeah, my brain doesn't compute that, right?
Yeah,
and I know I understand. No, I trust me. I understand that that's a serious question. And so, you know, the word fan is short for fanatical.
Sure.
I've changed that now. It's now short for Fantasyland. It's like, yes. So. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with that one. What was the second part? I had somewhere I was going with that one.
No, it was more so of like, you know, fans thinking, oh, you just, if you just shrink the playbook or you just, instead of calling RPOs where there's an option, why don't you just call more runs, like true runs or this or that? Like, I guess that's some of the feedback I'm seeing a lot.
So that I would say then, why don't you go make more money? Because everybody's like, yeah, everybody wants to run. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, you ever met anybody that didn't want more money?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
so
but why don't you go make it?
I guess that's a good question. You just got to go do it.
So, yeah. Like, you can't, it's not, you know, you have to have answers. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing is this is modern day football. Defenses are too good. Defense are too fast. You can't just, you know, if you could line up, you know, the days of lining up like
in eye formation and running like toss,
you'll get outscored. You could be so efficient, okay, but you'll get outscored. Like, you can't win. It's hard to win games doing that because your defense, you know, it's just hard to win games. Like, look at Iowa, okay. Let's just look at Iowa, okay. Do you know? I mean, they're winning 9 and 10 games every year, and everybody's complaining about their offense. Okay. And so, but it fits, and they have to do it because that's how they have to survive. Right.
Sure.
But what happens, they never win. It's very difficult in today's football to win the big one doing that. Your roster has to be so beyond elite to do that. Like, and you look at the last time it's happened, Michigan did it. Right.
Right.
And Michigan ran a really true pro style, but they were so, I mean, look how many first round picks they had on that team.
Yeah.
Look how many ballers. I mean, they were loaded.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. But sooner or later, you're going to get outscored. And in this league, if you try to line up with the defenses and line up and just run down people's throat, you can win games. Sure. But you can't win the big one, which is the goal. You're going to have to score points, and you got to provide yourself matchup and answers. Right. So you can't just, you know, it's not as simple as lining up and go, okay, we're just going to run inside zone here with no RPOs. Okay. Well, what happens if they give you a look that you have to throw the RPO? The only way for the play to be successful, you're out of timeouts. Okay. You can't call a timeout. You're out of timeouts and you have no answer. And then you get on the microphone from the press conference and say, hey coach, what happened to that fourth one? Well, you know, y'all didn't want me to run any RPOs anymore, so we just called a straight run, and they went cover zero and brought double edge pressure and hit us right in the backfield. We really didn't have a check out of that because I took that out. You know, you can't coach. That's actually malpractice coaching not to have answers.
I dig it. I love that. I love that.
And he has right, wrong, or indifferent. You can like him, hate him. I mean, I know this is Auburn show, but his offense has answers.
I love it. I do have a question on the RPO offense in general. Okay. So if you're a defense and you notice a quarterback that's struggling, is there a way to game it to make them, do you see defenses starting to kind of game it a little bit to where you sort of force them into a pass and say, I'll take my chances, I guess, with them throwing it? Or do you fit, because that's like a lot of the rumors that, you know, Travis Williams, that was something he was trying to do. He was trying to game the system to show, you know, to make the read be a pass, because he felt like eventually, you know, they were going to make a mistake or throw a pick or something like that. What do you say? How do you feel about that?
I think coaches give other coaches way too much credit. And I see it all the time. It's like you sit there and you go, oh, they know we're doing this. I mean, I've seen it every day. I mean, every day you work, you're like, oh, they think we're going to do this. And then I went to Alabama and worked with Coach Saban and realized that, man, well, they didn't know anything we were doing. You know what I mean? Like, I thought we knew this. They didn't know anything we were doing, you know? And so, you know, look, it's the way you're reading leverage and stuff, right? So you can't like bait them to throw, because if you're baiting and the guy in the back or the wheel backer starts bailing, they're going to hand the ball off.
It's
a post-snap read. You know, the only way
you're right.
I guess technically you could make it is if everybody just stood still, but then you're going to hand the ball off anyway. That's why it's popular, right?
Right.
And that's why it's very popular. But at the end of the day, it's always where a lot of quarterbacks make mistakes is it's called RPO, right? Like, and I've had quarterbacks that I've had to get on, especially young ones. I'll say, I'm just going to remind you, this is called an RPO, not a PPO. Okay. Quarterbacks want to throw the ball. I mean, they do. Yeah. And so I'm going to remind you, this is an RPO.
That RPO is important. That R is important.
And it's not a PRO. It's an RPO. Yeah. We want to run the ball, but we have answers in the passing game. And RPOs is like this funny little saying that came along. We were running RPOs in 2010. We just didn't call them RPOs. They didn't know we had a name for them. And it started, I think we started it, if I'm not mistaken, Freeze would make remember. I think we got some of it from Sumlin, Kevin Sumlin, and we got some from Dana Holgerson. We got some that whole one-back crew. They have called it the one-back clinic, but they have a whole one-back crew that we snagged a bunch of stuff from. But that's kind of where we started it. And we started it with, like, screens and stick draw, man. We started at the very rudimentary, and then it just kind of took off from there. But it's a run pass option. And if you're confused, you know what you do?
Just run it.
You hand the ball off.
Just hand the ball off. Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Let's don't make this any more complicated than it has to be. If you don't know what to do, hand
it off.
I heard, I apologize, by the way, if your clips offended any of that. I heard that you kept apologizing for the language.
I don't know how to, I don't have editing skills yet.
So freeze, Freeze gets mad at me for my language too. So, hey, it's all good. Freeze would get mad at me when I say it. Freeze would tell me that cursing, because his dad told him this, that cursing was a feeble mind trying to express itself. And I just told him, I said, I guess I got a feeble mind then. I don't know. But if you don't know what to do, hand that thing off to 27. It's a pretty good option.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't make this complicated. And at worst, you're going to go forward. Maybe it's not the great run play, but it's second eight and not second 10, second 11. You know, you get behind the chains or you pull it into a squeeze scrape or whatever it is.
So what do you say to people that say, well, run the ball more? Why don't you – you're averaging 6.2 yards a carry. Run it more. I mean, you got an
– Do you know why? But that's what I'm trying to – do you know why you're averaging that?
Exactly.
You know why you're averaging that?
I want you to say it, though. I know because, it. I want you to say it.
You're averaging that because of the other stuff you're doing. I mean, exactly. It's not – if you line up and say, we're running the ball, we are running the ball, you're not going – in this league, you're not running the ball.
Exactly.
We had at Ole Miss, this was Freeze's first year as a head coach. This has been 2012. And I love every one of them. They're awesome. We had probably the worst offensive line that's ever been assembled in the history of college football. All right. But we found a way to run for 220 yards a game too in the league because the offense is creative and you can do things on the perimeter and suckers and things like that, you know, and use defenses schemes against them.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's exactly my mindset is no, you're not getting 6.2 yards a carry if you go rush it 10 times in a row. Like let's use a little bit of common sense here. I also love the fact that the offense, when people say, you know, just take away some of the options, take away some of the stuff, the decisions, and it'll make it easier. Well, yeah, it's going to make it easier on the defense too. You got to have answers, and that's what the RPO offense gives you every time you go up to the line of scrimmage. You have an answer for every single thing that the defense gives you, from an alignment, from a coverage, whatever you diagnose, you got an answer for it. And I think
I'll explain this I try to get it in layman's terms for fans. So I know this is an RPO that he uses it in his offense, right?
Okay.
And so one of them is, okay, they're in too high. Okay. Mel Kiper too high. Okay.
Yeah.
And we got an RPO away from the single. All right. Let's say the single's running a glance. Okay? Which is a skinny post. Okay. And so let's say he's doing that. All right, well, they're in too high. So when I, as a quarterback, I come up, I go, okay, it's too high. All right, I'm thinking run the ball. This isn't complicated, okay? If there's seven dudes, if there's too high, that means there's only seven dudes and some of them are outside the box, usually a six-man box. We're running the ball because we got six guys plus the quarterback. That makes seven, okay? So, all right, if they're in one high, okay, that means there's eight dudes down there, okay? We are one short. Okay.
Yeah.
Guess what we're going to do?
We're going to pass.
But let's say in pre-snap, this is what I'm talking about decision making. Let's say in pre-snap, they're in Mel Kiper too high. And I go to the mesh. And all of a sudden that safety, that weak side safety on that single side starts hammering down. So he's going to play the quarterback. Say you're squeezing, he's going to play the quarterback. Okay. I'm going to pull it and I'm going to replace it with a glance behind his head.
Right.
All right, that is the proper decision. All right.
Yes.
What is not proper is if I go to mesh, let's say if they're in too high, they go to mesh and the safety doesn't come down, he runs back underneath the glance. Okay. It's still too high. You hand the ball off. What's not proper if it's eight man front and you got four guys down, you know, it's nickel, weak safety, whatever you want to call them, is already down, and I go to ride it and he starts bailing back underneath. So now you got seven again. You hand the ball off or you pull it based on the read, right? And
right.
So that's where the decision-making issues, that's where you got to be a good decision maker post-snap. So that's what I'm talking about. Not hard.
Yeah. You got now
however many people watching the show, everybody can now run that glance RPO off backside inside zone.
When a play is called in, what percentage of those plays is every play in RPO? Is every single play in RPO?
That is a great question. So we ended up doing a study because I remember like the game changed like overnight, right? When I was with Freeze is kind of when the game started changing crazy.
Yeah.
Is our last year at Arkansas State. I got to remember numbers. Freeze may still have these numbers one day. He may can talk about it and maybe an interesting question for him because he's probably remembers the numbers. But I remember it was something like 82% of our passes in 2011. That would have been our last year at Arkansas State. We're in some version of 5 and 6 man protection. Okay. So, and the rest were RPOs or whatever, right? Or run action and things like that. We actually call run action and play action. And so the run action passes have now turned into RPOs, right? But right. So when we went to Ole Miss the next year, it went down 5 and 6 man protection. I think we went down to like 17% of our passes were 5 and 6 man protection the very next year. And the rest came from RPOs and run action, which we didn't call them RPOs back then, but our true hard play action, which is now everybody calls RPOs. So game kind of changed overnight. And why did it change overnight? It was because the defenses got better, the schemes got better, and it came very difficult to man protect and protect your quarterback. And so you had to find a way to do that. And the RPOs became – and so as time has gone on, you've got more of that. So there's not a lot of 5 and 6 man protection anymore. And, like, sometimes the only time you see it is on third and long, and they're not very good at it, and you're putting your tackle on the island, and he's getting – I can't believe we give up sacks every third down. Well, it's because your tackle, very few times, is he true pass set, and he's one-on-one. That doesn't happen a lot in football anymore, particularly in the college game. Because the college game is you got 3 yards to go downfield, so they can quick set, they can do their RPOs or whatever, and you're getting passing stats, and your quarterback's not getting sacked because the defensive end's getting a run read, not a pass read, so he's not peel his ears back and go hitting your quarterback in the back of the head.
I dig it. Switching gears just a little bit. So yeah. you've seen four games so far. Peyton's basically done after this year. I'm sure you talk to Freeze. You probably know a little bit about Walker White. You know a little bit about Holden Gariner. Do you think that in 2025, with the way the beginning of this season's played out, do you think that the quarterback for 2025 for Auburn is on the roster?
I'll make sure I go on record this. I have not talked to Freeze about this at all. So okay. I'll make sure this
yeah,
is
yeah,
my,
yeah, yeah. Sure, sure, sure.
This is my speculation. This is not sourced.
Sure, sure, yeah, yeah. I totally get it.
Sure I'm 100% clear with that.
Yeah.
I would be surprised. I would be surprised.
So when you're I'm trying to think the best way to ask this. I guess what's the most important trait to that you're looking for when you're watching these quarterbacks, these other quarterbacks? I'm sure the off the field staff, you probably did this some, is already maybe looking at some preliminary, stuff and things like that. But
look, nobody. Tampering does not exist. Nobody,
no, not at all.
Nobody ever watches film until people go in the portal. Don't even, you should never insinuate that. That doesn't happen.
I got you. Well, okay. What's the most important thing you're looking for when someone does go into the portal?
Quick release and decision making, pocket press, just overall arm talent. And then in that offense, you don't have to be a super athlete, just what I call a willing runner. You got to be somebody, you want somebody dynamic. That's awesome. But that would be, the guys that are really good at throwing it or really good at running it. You better have a really good checking account when you go see them.
Yeah. Most of those guys are playing.
Cam Ward says hello. But you would like somebody that can, decision-making and you can judge decision-making on film a lot of times. Doing all balls thrown tapes, to me, the only stat that matters in recruiting or evaluating a prospect at any position, the only stat I've ever looked at that got me in the right direction was touchdown to interception ratio for a quarterback. That will tell you, if you look at touchdown interception ratio for a quarterback, it'll tell you a lot about decision making. Now you got to go investigate, right? Why did they throw the pick? Was he late? Did he throw it into coverage? Did he throw a hitch into cover too? Or was it a batted ball? Sometimes it was a Hail Mary at the end of the half. A 3rd and 17 at the 4th and 17 at the end of the game, and he had to try to fit a dig in there or whatever it was.
Or off the receiver's hands twice.
Yeah. Things like that you want to make sure you evaluate. But he will have no problem finding a quarterback if that's what he decides to do.
Sure. And Freeze better than most. So a lot of stuff has been made of the comments, which I feel like most of the flack is because of the record and less of the comments. But what is your take over some of the things that he's said? I know you guys have been, I feel like y'all have been fair. Y'all have been critical at times. You've defended him at times. You know, saying, you know, I got to find a quarterback that doesn't throw it to the other team. What's your overall takeaway? You've had, you know, media personalities, someone close to you, Bo Wallace, sound off as well. What's your overall takeaway on the verbiage there? And is it a big deal? How does it affect the quarterbacks? Things like that.
Well, I haven't been critical because I get criticized because I'm not critical. So the people that know me, you know, obviously I live in Oxford, Mississippi still.
Yeah.
Because of my past and where I've coached, there are a lot of Ole Miss fans that listen to our show. There are a lot of Auburn fans, a lot of Alabama fans everywhere, right? So our show's kind of grown. But I take a lot of heat for defending coaches. And I have friends in this league that I've coached with and that I consider friends. And I don't see it's my purpose. Just because somebody else is dragging them over the coals, I don't see any reason that it makes sense for me to do that.
Sure.
I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. I'll say that for better or for worse. If you know me, that's what I am. Now, I've been on several shows where people that for their reason, they either don't like Freeze or whatever it is, or they got the fan thing or what. Oh, cool. That's fine. That's their opinion. But I have to listen to it sometimes. Right.
Sure.
But there's probably somebody you don't like that I like, and there's probably somebody I like that you don't like. So that's just part of being the humans, you know, human. And I don't let somebody else's opinion sway my opinion. I got my own personal relationship. So that's kind of and when it comes to Freeze's comments, okay?
Yeah.
This is kind of where I'm at on that. He gets paid $7 million or around there to be the head coach at Auburn University, okay? That's his program. And, I mean, he can say whatever the hell he wants to say.
Okay.
That's one. Okay. What I think about it, what you think about it, what Johnny Jeffrey Wright, Neil, or whoever thinks about it, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. He can say what he wants to say because he's running the program. Okay. That's one. Two is if Auburn had won that game Saturday, he said the same thing.
Exactly.
Not one person would have said a word.
It's the record.
It has more. We can live in fantasy land or we can't, but if they had won the game, nobody would have said anything to begin with. Right.
Exactly.
And so, so I guess my point on these comments is it doesn't matter. I don't have an opinion because I know this is probably everybody wants me to have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not my program. I'm not working there. I'm not recruiting there. He gets paid a lot of money to decide what he wants to say in a press conference. And, so I don't care. I'm sure it's not the first ever out of pocket thing. I will go ahead and tell all Auburn fans are lucky because if I was the head coach, I'd have been canceled 45 seconds into a press conference. Cause, I have no filter. When I get pissed off, I have no filter. So, I'm at least you know what I'm thinking. I don't hold back on that. Right. But, so he's doing a much better job and the people, apparently if they don't like the cursing, I would have dropped at least 7 F-bombs by now in press conferences. And the last part of this, you asked about the Bo stuff and all that. You asked about it earlier. Like I'm friends with Bo. I'm friends with Freeze. To me that, and then I'm kind of in the middle of it. I was joking the other day. I did, Chris Lee's podcast. I was like, I'm a blackjack dealer, you know, that's between them. And however they handle that's between them. I don't have a dog in the fight. I know that regardless of what's said on both sides, I don't know what's said on both sides. They both have respect for each other and it kind of is what it is. It's not my business. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight and that's between them. I know everybody, trust me, because my phone's been blowing up all week. Everybody wants, this is podcast number 12, by the way, this week. I've been asked
this is the best one.
Question and everybody wants me to have a take on it. I don't have a take on it because I know both parties, love and care about them both. I want them both to be successful in life and in their journeys, and it's not my place. You know, I'm in a different place because how many people in media know both parties? Probably very few.
And no, I'm with you.
That are friends with both. There's probably not many people. So I don't, I mean, It's like, how about this? It'd be like you trying to your dad and your brother get in an argument, you know, and somebody and you get put on a microphone and people want you to take a side.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not so much about taking a side as it is, you know, hearing how he's described the quarterbacks, and does it really line up with the characterization that, you know, you've seen from some of the media? And then I've just kind of lumped Bo in there as well. But I mean, to your point, winning cures all. And a prime example is last year, Nick Saban, when he benched Jalen Milroe, he was very complimentary of him, but he did say, we've got to get to where we don't have the two disaster plays that cost us the game against Texas. He said that was the quote he said to Jalen Milroe. So it's like there's not really a good way to bench a quarterback without seemingly putting blame on the quarterback and not yourself. And I've heard also Freeze say multiple times in press conferences, I got to coach him better. He puts a lot of the onus on himself too. So
it's really simple as far as, like, you know, there are right, wrong, or indifferent. It's, again, I don't care. It's not my place.
Yeah.
But right, wrong, or indifferent. Fans, depending on what fan base you're on. Media, depending on what media you're covering. Okay. Everybody has a jaded opinion. Okay. Yeah. Of Hugh and of Bo. Okay. They have a biased opinion on those people before that press conference ever happened.
Sure.
Okay. And so you probably, and I've said this and Hugh's heard me say it. I mean, Hugh may have even told this to me. I don't remember. But you got, of all the fans out there, you got about 10% of your fan base that don't like you. Okay.
No matter what.
No matter what you do, no matter how many games you win or no, you're never going to make them happy. Okay.
They'd rather be right than win.
So if you're the person who asked the question about just run the ball, why don't you just run the play? You're part of that 10%. Okay. That person, yeah. Whoever that person is, he's probably at Auburn Tiger 9742. All right. That person, he is 100% in that little 10 part. You're never going to make them happy.
Right.
Okay. They're always going to be against you. Then you got 10% that no matter what you do, are going to love you forever. Love you forever. I mean, you can't do no wrong. I'm talking about, man, you lose by 70. We still love you, coach. We're supporting you. Hey, we're going to show up. We're going to be at Tiger Walk. We're going to be there ready to go. 10% of them love you forever. And then guess what? You got about 80%. They just want you to do a damn good job.
Yeah.
Okay. So spend your time worrying about that 80%.
I'm with you.
And worry about yourself and do a good job. But like I said, I guess I'm the only one. I know them both. I don't have a biased opinion. I don't care.
Yeah. It'll be
okay. It'll be okay.
I hear you, man.
A lot of drama. Save the drama for your mama. I'll see drama at 9U baseball this weekend. That's enough for me for the week.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy, I feel you there. I had a discussion with a customer. He had a 9-year-old flag football game, and there was parents ready to fight. That's about the most drama that I deal with as well. So last thing, and we'll get you out of here. I know you got stuff to do, but we talked. You talked about the decision making, and we saw two games where we had turned the ball over 10 times. 8 of them were interceptions. Is that fixable as you go into Oklahoma and move forward? And then what do you think is the process of being able to fix that? How do you fix it? Is it something that's just malignant that you're going to have to deal with? Or is there little things are there things that can be done? Because I feel like they're not very far off. You mentioned explosive plays. You're tops in the nation in explosive plays. You're tops in the nation in yards per carry. You're tops in the nation in total passing yards, total passing touchdowns. But you're also tops in the nation in turnovers. So it feels like you're close, but is there a way to sort of right that ship? Is there a way to fix it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yes. To answer your question, now. Just being real, okay. This isn't Oklahoma's not a get right game.
No, it's not.
All right. Georgia coming up after that, not a get right game on defense. You know what I mean? Like, you have to tighten up and stay on schedule. But it's about being disciplined. you got to make the right decision, stay on schedule, be disciplined. But here's the thing is, like, for me, they got to get a little confidence too. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the guys that have been successful at quarterback, they got a little swag. You know what I mean? Like, they got a little, they, I mean, like, they got a little something, something to them. You know, Ryan Appel.
That's what made Bo good, in my opinion.
Bo, Chad Kelly. I mean, like.
Swag Kelly.
Swag Kelly. That's right. You got to have some confidence. And when you see a quarterback come to the sideline and drop the head, like, no, we're not doing that. And, you know, he's good. You know what I mean? Like, I tell people all the time, this is one of the biggest things that bothers me about this side of the coaching profession, talking about seeing it from the outside in, is we live in a world where every single time there's a, and it used to have years. Now it's a 7-day job.
Yeah.
You got a 7-day contract, boss. And
get you some.
You want to get every, if you win the game, you're the best thing that ever happened. If you lose the game, everybody wants you fired. Okay. Sooner or later, okay, we gotta let the cook cook.
Okay? Let him cook.
Let the cook cook. I think that's a problem that's going on in Florida right now. You know, you fire two coaches that take your team to the SEC championship games and you fire them in the middle of next year. The answer is not always firing the coach. That's kind of where I'm at with that. It's like if you hire somebody to do the job, okay, let them do the job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's ever going to argue. Let's take a unbiased. I know we're on a podcast called The Barn here, right? And this is a totally unbiased podcast, right? But let's totally. Be honest here. Let's have a real conversation here. I don't think anybody will argue with you that the roster is better this year than it was last year.
100%.
Okay. All right. So there's two major areas of concern, quarterback and offensive line play. Those are your two areas of concern. With the offensive line play, the system can help protect some of that and hide some of it. And keep it. It does not necessarily, you know, fatal. Okay. So, but you know, if you want to just ride up and run, though, it will be fatal. Okay. But right. The system allows these options that keep that from being a fatal issue. Right. So the receivers are night and day, where they've been in the, especially from last year to this year, night and day. They're young. They're talented, and. In my opinion, they're a quarterback. If they're a quarterback away, okay. I understand why they're in the situation, but that's why I think in the end of the day, I think you'll see new quarterbacks in there, and this will all be long gone. It's probably a good thing though, so that way the bar won't be set so damn high. Where if they, you know, when they do have they go win or 8 or 9 next year, it's like the fans are actually excited, not upset, right? But, I get it, man. I really do. I played there. My wife's from, you know, my wife went to school there. My wife was a gymnast. I understand it. I understand. Sure. I understand the fans. I understand everything about it, boss. You know, I walked my crack across that campus many a time. Okay. I was there for 4 years. And so I get it. And, you know, kind of is what it is.
My thing is, hey, if you're going to spend $20 million on a buyout, why not put $20 million on NIL?
No, I say that all the time. Like the whole Florida thing, like literally, like we got to start, like in my opinion, which will buy you a cup of coffee the next time you drive through. I think fans and administrators, college administrators are thinking totally backwards on this. As the game has changed, they haven't adjusted. Okay. So hear me out on this. All right. So let's talk about Billy. All of a sudden these reports come out that the boosters, and it's sourced. The boosters got enough money, $26 million. They raised $26 million to get rid of Billy. Well, hey, wait a minute. When I was trying to buy a damn roster, where were you? I was trying to raise money to buy. You go give somebody $26 million?
Exactly. Put it in the collective. Like, let's go get a roster. Let's go build a roster.
No, I'm not joking when I say this.
Yeah.
I could go right now. I haven't coached in however long. I could go right now, call offense and defense with a $26 million roster, and we would win enough games to make the fans happy.
We're going to a bowl. I'm getting us to a bowl.
We're going to play 3-4 Mel Kiper cover two on that, and then I'll call the offense play. We're going to play cover two, and I'm going to say blitz. We're going to go cover zero, bring the house. Okay. You will win 8 or 9 games because your players are that much better because we've turned college football into a fundraising contest.
Yeah, okay. And that always blows my mind. It's the opposite. Funny story real quick, and then we'll get out of here. I'm from Auburn. I have several friends that work for the collective and said after the Cal game, you had a ton of the subscriptions be canceled or whatever. And it's like, well, that's the absolute opposite. That's the absolute opposite of what needs to be happening. Exactly. We're backwards.
Backwards. Here's where they're thinking backwards too, right? It's like, so in Billy's situation or any coach's situation, all right, like everybody was talking about Mike Norvell, right? After the fire Mike Norvell. Whoa. 6 months ago, you gave him an 8-year deal.
Exactly.
Like what's – he didn't get dumber in 6 months, okay? No, there's exactly. One thing that happened, and it was players, okay? Yeah. And so – but here's the thing is like here's where administrators are thinking backwards. They're worried about firing people because for the most part, okay, and this is – I think Auburn has the advantage here, and I'm going to explain this to you. For the most part, if you look at ADs across the country, do you know what their background was in? Do you know how they became an AD?
I don't. What's that?
From fundraising.
Mm.
Okay. Most of them come up from a fundraising background. Okay. So guess who they've been trying to make happy their whole career?
The people booster, with money.
The fan, the booster.
Yep.
Okay. You don't see many coach ADs. John's a coach AD. John Cohen was the baseball coach at Northwestern State when I was there. Okay. So, but anyway, long story short is coach ADs, they care about winning, okay? And so they get it a little bit better. But let's say like Billy's case, he's got like 4 years left on his contract, whatever it is, okay? In today's world, it makes business sense. It makes more sense to, instead of raising the buyout money to change coaches, it makes more sense to raise the buyout money to buy a roster, and you just let his contract run out. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same one
player. And the only reason coaches get extensions, is for two things. One, you're worried about them going somewhere else.
Yep.
Or B, it's about recruiting, right? You know, the kid, they're using that I only got 2 years left of my deal. I mean, recruiting. That doesn't matter anymore.
No.
Okay. Hey, it happens in baseball. I mean, how many baseball managers are on 1 year deals? Okay. It happens all the time. It's like, hey, man, I don't know, coach. I really don't want to come play for you because you only got 1 year or 2 years left on your deal. That's not in conversation. It's, hey, what? How much money am I getting paid again?
Exactly.
Okay.
Show me that check.
Yeah. How much money again? Do you think the UNLV quarterback walked in today and was upset about Barry Odom's contract situation?
No.
Or was he upset about his contract?
His contract situation.
So we're thinking backwards and we're not, and the administration of fans are not adjusting to the new, you got to think forward. The only thing that matters is money, okay, and go buy a quarterback.
Yep.
Go buy a quarterback, raise a lot of money, buy a quarterback. And like I said, if you raise enough money, if you got $26 million to go raise, hell, you can give me the money and you can pick a team. And we'll go buy a roster. Like if you got $26 million, all it takes is like 85 phone calls.
Yeah, there you go. You can build like Deion, just rebuild it.
Yeah, 85 phone calls. You get $26 million, 85 phone calls. We'd have a roster because nobody would say no. Like, hey, what are they paying you over there? Coach, I'm making $5 million. I'm going to give you $1 million. Come on. Do you know how long it would take him to clean out his locker for $1 million if he's making $500 grand? Wouldn't even go. He'd leave it in his locker. He'd buy the new stuff when he showed up.
Yeah, you can have it. You keep that.
You can have it. So
I love it. I love it. I love that mindset. I love the perspective that you have, and I really appreciate you jumping on. Tyler, tell everybody. I'm linking your show and pumping you out on social media, but tell everybody where they can find you, where they can love on you, talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, I just want all the Auburn fans to remember, for y'all hating on me, remember what I'm wearing today.
Where there you go, at? Letterman jacket.
What I'm wearing today. I brought it out of the closet, mothballs and everything.
There you go.
All right, so at McCready and Siski, we're on TikTok. It's probably our biggest one. We're at 60-something thousand on TikToks. Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And then on YouTube, on the MPW Digital Network, McCready and Siski, we go live at 2 p.m. Central, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And actually, I don't know when you're airing this, but we're actually doing 11 a.m. tomorrow. So That's just a one-time thing, a little schedule conflict. So
we'll say it's this morning then, because it'll go up. It'll go up Thursday morning. So Thursday at 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Thursday, we'll be live on the MPW Digital YouTube channel. Come by. If you're Ears hurt. I apologize in advance. It's a feeble mind just trying to express itself.
There you go. I love it. If you like this, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe it. You know where to find us every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.